The principles of human psychology never change. People still want the same things. They are still afraid of the same things. Those things won't ever change. The ways to reach them, the forms of media we have available now change every day. TikTok wasn't a thing for marketers 5 years ago. So there will always be a new network, a new app, a new place to reach people. But what you say to them when you reach them that addresses human psychology isn't going to change. So how you figure out, you don't need to be on every platform and you don't automatically need to jump on the next new platform. When it's come out, there might be something new already out. You don't need to be on it if that's not where your target market hangs out. If you are fishing for clients, you need to fish where the fish are.
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design.
Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hamby, your host. In today's episode, we have Seth Green. He is the co-host of the episode on Sharkpreneur. Yes, from Shark Tank. He's the co-host of that podcast. And we're going to talk about all things marketing on this episode. We've talked about marketing so many times, but he comes at it from, just like with many different guests that we have on, comes at it from a slightly different angle. We talk about things, the cost to acquire customer. We talk about SLOs. We talk about nurturing customers. We talk about the overall journey. We even talk about, how does phishing have to do with your marketing strategy? We even talk about the difference of marketing within strategies, tactics. We talk about brand building versus direct response. A lot of things jam-packed in this really short, but yet quick and action-packed episode with Seth Green.
Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one-and-done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they are taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club, and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at CoachPeakConsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast.
Seth, welcome to the Above the Business Podcast.
Thank you so much for being here. It is an honor. I am super excited.
I'm excited as well. We love to start with background and origin story. Tell us your background. Tell us your background and origin story, how you got to where you are.
So I'll try and do the longer versions on YouTube. I'll try and do a short version. Let's see. I went to college for Syracuse University for musical theater a few decades ago, wanted to be a Broadway star at the age of 18. Every semester, my dad would call me and tell me he couldn't afford for me to go to Syracuse anymore. And I had to move home, live at home, work part time, help my mom around the house, get a job, all that kind of stuff. Thankfully, he didn't make me quit. But by the time I graduated, I had been so frustrated with that process that I said, there's got to be a better way. I had made another degree basically in something that didn't exist back then in the late 90s, which was in college financial aid negotiation. So instead of going to New York and starving as a waiter, I started a college financial aid negotiation business, howtofindmoneyforcollege.com. I made 300 cold calls a day, interrupting strangers asking for money. Hated that. Found legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy. Dan taught me direct response marketing after I borrowed more than my house to get to work with him. I went from the 6,700th dead last ranked advisor at a Fortune 500 company in 2 years. I was in the top 30 nationwide because of Dan Kennedy. That got me written about in every trade journal in the industry. Advisors started calling me and saying, how do I do what you did? And this is before Google. They had needed a phone book to find me. And I said, Dan, what do I do? And he said, you start a marketing company and do it for them. So 18 years ago, I left the Fortune 500 company, opened my own financial services company, and opened my own direct response marketing agency, marketdominationllc.com. And it's been one heck of a roller coaster ride for the last 18 years.
For those people that don't know who Dan Kennedy is, I do know who he is, but can you just give maybe a 60 second or longer, we've got time, but on just who he is?
Dan is the number one highest paid marketing consultant in the world. He is a 23-time bestselling author. He is a household name and the godfather of direct response marketing. He and Russell Brunson, who started ClickFunnels, went from zero to 100 million in 3 years. I am the only person they've ever nominated 3 years in a row, back to back to back, for their prestigious Marketer of the Year award. And the year after I got nominated for the third time, they didn't have the contest and they won't tell me if I broke it. And along the way, I co-host the Sharkpreneur podcast with Kevin from Shark Tank. I've written 9 best-selling books, but we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about all the fabulous people listening.
Yeah. Well, no, we are here to talk. We do want to hear kind of the things that you've been able to. I did not know the information around ClickFunnels and Russell Brunson for sure. So I do have a question. I'm curious a lot. I think it would be relevant for a lot of our business owners because we actually have talked about this on the podcast at times. Marketing has a really big umbrella. And so there's a lot of different ways to kind of approach it, from even language gets used thrown around. I'm just gonna start here. You've said it a couple times. Talk about direct response marketing as opposed to, in contrasting that to maybe what small business owners would know as just traditional branding.
Absolutely. So I'll divide the word marketing into two parts. There's strategy and then there's tactics. The tactics are the shiny object. Should I do Facebook ads? Should I do TikTok? Should I be on Snapchat? Should I be doing Valpak ads? All that kind of stuff. Those are tactics that we use to fulfill the goal of the strategy. Now, I'm going to divide strategy in half and say there's two types that you've alluded to. There is traditional brand building and direct response. A brand building would be your traditional ad agency, right? Cares about what your logo looks like, wants to get it recognized by focus groups, wants to get your name out there. On a small level, that's a local agency saying, let's make you beautiful, pretty brochures and a beautiful website. And at a national level, that's Nike branding the slogan, just do it, which doesn't actually sell shoes unless you spend billions of dollars long enough, then people buy shoes from it. But your small businesses don't have unlimited marketing budgets and decades to wait. They need money tomorrow. They need things to work tomorrow. So direct response marketing, I don't care what your logo looks like. I don't care if focus groups know who you are. I don't care what your brochure looks like. Our goal is every piece of marketing we create has to directly generate a response and be trackable. So that means if you have a brochure, I need to be able to tell you how many phone calls you got from it in the last 7 days. Did they turn into business and was it worth it? Or are you scrapping that brochure? Does your website just sit there or is it generating leads and spitting out cash like an ATM? Do your Facebook ads, your direct, all of your different marketing tactics, are they actually trackable? Are they generating responses? Are they generating a profitable ROI? In which case, awesome. And if not, how do we fix it?
It basically comes down, is it measurable and is it trackable?
Period. And is it affordable?
Yeah. One of the things, and this last comment I'll make about Dan, but I think it's relevant to our conversation, is he's famous for saying the business that can spend the most to acquire a customer wins. When I heard it for the first time, I don't know when it was, I don't know, 6 years ago, something like that. I mean, I was like, I do not get that, okay? Because everything that I've ever been, had up to that point, been taught around, Seth, was like, no, I want to acquire customers as cheap as possible.
Me too.
So now you're flipping it on its head. Like, it took me the longest time. I was like, I don't get that. Can you talk about the intent behind that? And then maybe even specifically, okay, here's the theory or the principle behind that. But then here's some of the things that we specifically do within our clients that help them to go about executing on something like that.
Absolutely. And it's a great question. So whoever can afford to pay the most to acquire a customer wins. Think about that. And again, it is the reverse of the mindset we've all grown up with and been taught, which is why it works. So if you and I have the same business, right? If I'm a financial advisor and you're a financial advisor, and we're both going after baby boomers with money in our town, and you are willing to spend $10 to get a customer in the door, and I'm willing to spend $500, I will win every time because I can deliver a different experience with a marketing budget of $500 a person. I can do direct mail. I can show up with theater. I can buy them dinner if I wanted. I can do a whole bunch of different, I can do many, many steps in a marketing process that you can't afford to do because you're trying to get them as cheaply as possible. And if I'm willing to pay more, I can literally buy my way into a marketplace. I can buy other people's customers. I can do all kinds of things that you can't do if you're trying to get them as cheaply as possible. So the premise is, how do you re-engineer your business to be able to afford to spend more to acquire customers at a profit so that you can become the dominant player in your industry, right? If I look at an example from financial services industry, and any of your advisors listening will instantly resonate with this and hate it. But if you look at Ken Fisher, right, he's running national TV ads, national online ads, national print newspaper ads, all about, I hate annuities. And if you have an annuity, you should come to us. Now he can afford to spend so much because, again, he knows his numbers and they're managing hundreds of billions of dollars. But he didn't start out that way. But that's how you get to be that big, is by knowing your numbers and figuring out, how can I afford to spend more and thus dominate my market?
So I think that you've mentioned a few of them a minute ago around tactics, TikTok, and other things. There's not a business, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a business owner that wants to grow. Okay, he wants to grow. And what it at times can feel like, it's pinning the tail on the donkey about what works and what doesn't. Like, I'm playing, you know, I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm just doing what other people do, and I'm just throwing around money, et cetera. Can you help us to start getting us an idea for a business owner to feel like that as trends change and as people at the end of the day are not changing? Okay. That's one of the things for sure that I've learned, and I'm not even anywhere close to the way you are and your experience level. But I've learned over time, it's like people behave the way that they did even 50, 60, 70 years ago. Now, the taste and the appetites and things of that nature has maybe evolved and changed, sure, but people behave effectively the same. The psychology of human behavior is effectively the same. So how do you recommend small business owners that are trying to grow? They're a $1 million business. I want to grow over the next 3 years and get it to $2 million in business. I know I need to spend money in marketing, Seth. I get it. But I don't know where to start. There's just so many different places, and I feel like I'm just throwing around money at just different things to see what works.
Sure. So you bring up an excellent point, and I will agree with you 100%. The principles of human psychology never change. People still want the same things. They are still afraid of the same things. Those things won't ever change. The ways to reach them, the forms of media we have available now change every day. TikTok wasn't a thing for marketers 5 years ago. So there will always be a new network, a new app, a new place to reach people. But what you say to them when you reach them that addresses human psychology isn't going to change. So how you figure out, I'm going to write a prescription for your business owners listening and watching right now. You don't need to be on every platform. And you don't automatically need to jump on the next new platform. Right when it's come out, there might be something new already out. You don't need to be on it if that's not where your target market hangs out. So forgive the analogy, but if you are fishing for clients, you need to fish where the fish are. If I wanted 80-year-old widows with arthritis as my client, because I had a new glop that was going to make their arthritis pain go away, TikTok is not a place I would advertise because they're not on it yet. Or if they are, it's really, really small numbers. Those 80-year-old widows with arthritis, maybe direct mail works. Maybe ads in Prevention Magazine and Reader's Digest work. Facebook would work because they're on it to watch their grandkids, but they're not on TikTok yet. So the first thing we start with, to go back to the previous question, is we have to figure out who the target market really is, not who you think it is, who it really is, and figure out where you're going to reach them in a place, in a pond where you can be a large fish in that pond. I don't want to reach them the same place 80 other advertisers who do what I do is reaching them, in a bloody red ocean. I want to reach them in a blue ocean that I can afford to dominate. And that's the most important decision they're ever going to make, is who's your target market and how do you define that in such a way that you can become a category of one, own that positioning, and grow faster than you've ever grown before.
Are you an agency owner looking to grow your revenue, increase your bottom line, and better manage your taxes? Club Capital is here to help. Club Capital is the largest accounting and advisory firm for insurance agents in the country, providing monthly accounting, tax strategy, and CFO services. Way more than bookkeeping and your everyday run-of-the-mill tax prep, Club Capital is focused on providing financial and tax advisory services that help you plan and forecast your agency's performance. Their financial dashboards and agency forecasting tools help you better understand your agency's historical performance, create and measure future targets, and see how your agency compares to your peers around the country. Imagine what it would be like to understand the impact to your bottom line when deciding to hire a new employee, or forecast the impact rate changes or commission rates will have on your business. With over $200 million in tracked annual revenue and $140 million in tracked annual expenses, Club Capital has the data and the team to help you make better informed decisions for your agency. They will help you turn that back office stress into the backbone of your agency's success by giving you the tools to take your agency and your leadership to the next level. Visit club.capital today to book a solution overview with one of our business consultants. Club Capital, way more than a CPA firm.
Just to be clear on what you shared there, is that if I am trying to sell B2B to other small business owners, sure, they're on Snap, they're on TikTok, they're on LinkedIn, they're on Meta. Sure, they're on every one of them. But what you're saying is, where is the vast majority of them? What is going to give us the best chance to do so? So if you're trying to sell B2B, if you're trying to sell maybe even B2C in a high net worth financial advisor, LinkedIn might be better to target them on there as opposed to trying to target them on TikTok, as an example. It gives you, maybe it bends the odds in your favor. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct. Again, we want to fish where our fish are. Hopefully, we can find a pond that they swim in that everyone else isn't fishing at the same time.
Yeah. So even within that, there's still, even if we find a channel, we happen to be talking around some of the social channels, but this could even go to local marketing too. It could go to TV. I know clients are still looking at TV. They're still looking at direct mail, Seth, right? I mean, a lot of people have gone inboxes and now they're going to the physical mail because they see there's an opportunity there. They're doing and even considering things like billboards. They're considering going on a local, sponsoring a local podcast, on and on and on. Even within that, now that we're just like, okay, we've got it narrowed down some, still within how are we going to reach them can get really difficult, even if we are fishing in the right pond. In other words, what I'm saying is, what bait do I use effectively? So what are your thoughts around that?
Sure. So that's the next question. Once we figured out who our fish are, once we figured out where they are, now it becomes a question of what bait is going to get them to bite. So that comes in through a lot of market research. We will survey, we will buy data, we will pay people to take questionnaires, we will pay people to give us their information and their time so that we can learn about them if we don't already know and find out, hey, what lead magnet, what bait is going to get that person to raise their hand and say, yes, I qualify for that, because that's a big part of it. I don't want a client with $100,000 if my minimum's $1 million. I want them to raise their hand, qualify themselves and say, yes, I want that thing. Here is my most precious asset, my attention and my contact information. So please send me the thing. And that lead magnet, it needs to be useful, but incomplete. It needs to make them feel like they learned something, but not be so complete that they're like, I don't need you anymore. Thanks for telling me all of your secret sauce. Yeah. It's got to be to the point where they're like, wow, this is great. I'm so glad I got this. And now I need the next thing. It's got to segue into what is that next step that you want them to take and convince them to take it. And it should be relatively easy to consume. We used to have, you don't want the lead magnet to be a 5-hour video. Because how many people are going to get through the whole thing? I don't want the lead magnet to be 700-page book, because how many of them are actually going to consume it? And it used to be, free plus shipping book funnels were all the rage. And then the issue people ran into was people would get the book and then go, well, I'm not going to buy the next thing. I got to read the book first and then I'll see if I want the next thing.
Right.
It slowed it. You got better quality prospects at the end, but it slowed it down. They might not read that book for 3 weeks to a month. So it then became, what can I give them that's easier and faster to consume, where literally in the next 5 to 10 minutes, they consume it and go, now I need the next thing.
So what are your thoughts on this? For some people listening to this, depending on your industry, et cetera, this next question may not be very relevant, but I am going to ask it because I'm personally interested in it and I'm curious what Seth's answer to this is going to be. Then what are your thoughts with the rising cost? While, yes, it's all true that the person who can spend the most to acquire customer wins. I get that, okay? But still, costs are going up, okay? And so what are your thoughts around SLOs, so self-liquidating offers, in order to reduce and try to collect some of that cash back up front before you sell the thing that it is that you're really trying to sell?
I am a huge fan of a self-liquidating offer. So that's the emotional school of thought of, I want people who will vote for their wallet. I don't want to build a list of freebie seekers who never buy. I want that first initial transaction with me isn't give me the free thing. It's, hey, here's $5, $10, $20, something small, but they made a financial and emotional commitment by actually valuing your information, your lead magnet so much they were willing to pay for it. And then, of course, once they've given you their credit card, it's a lot easier to get them to give it to you again and again and again, because that level of trust and commitment is already there.
for our listening audience, can you just define, because I didn't do, I should have teed you up for this. What is an SLO? Obviously you told, but what actually is it?
So a self-liquidating offer, or SLO, is I am getting enough money on the front end purchase that I am liquidating my, I'm recouping my advertising cost. So yeah. If I know that, let's say I'm running Facebook ads and it costs me $20 in ad spend to get a customer, then my lead magnet should be $20 so that, or 20, 21, so that literally I am getting the ad budget back on the very first transaction and maybe even making a little bit of money. And then everything else from there is gravy. In essence, if I spend 20 to get a customer and I get $20 on my first purchase, not counting profit margins and stuff like that, I have literally gotten paid in essence to acquire a customer. And if yeah. I can run that, I will run that all day long and twice on Sunday because they're adding to my list and my universe and they're paying to be there.
Yeah. The reason I asked that question was actually to ask this next question. And that is that the level of trust between consumers and businesses is going down because there's so much stuff where they're like, I'm not sure. So therefore, the nurturing process that happens is way longer. Some of that is the lack of trust in the market. Some of it is depending on what industry you're in. Like I've got a client that's in the pool industry. There are families out there. They may spend a year or 2 years kicking the tires before they decide to build a pool. Okay. Now, are there people that this weekend said, I want a pool, and they filled out a lead form and they're signing a contract today? Yes. Okay. But there's the nurturing process, how long it takes from the time, I don't know what you guys call this. Sometimes it's like pipeline velocity, basically. How fast are people moving from the time they became a lead to the time they bought, something like that. It seems like that's getting longer. And if that's getting longer, it's where really an SLO seems like it can become valuable. It's because like, well, hey, we can at least recoup our money to get them on our list so that we can actually nurture them over a long period of time. What are your thoughts?
I would agree 100%. So the higher the purchase price of what you do is, usually, air quotes, usually the longer the sales cycle it takes to get someone to buy. If I am selling a online course for $200 versus a done-for-you service for $60,000, the person who buys the 200 might take 5, 10, 15 minutes to make that decision. The person who's spending 60,000 might take 3 or 4 calls, and those might occur over 2 months. So if your ultimate back end is a higher ticket offer, then yes, an SLO becomes more important because it's going to give you your ad money back to redeploy and thus keep generating more leads at no net cost to you while your people think about it and get nurtured before they ultimately buy. The cheaper your product is, the less important that becomes, because the closer it is to an impulse item or a quick decision, the faster you're going to turn your money around.
I think the part that for me is the most confusing, you said the most confusing, is always in that middle. What do you do? It's easier, it feels like, to know what to do on the front side or on the top side. Okay. These are the things we're doing to get leads. Okay. So lead gen stuff. This is what we do to get names and phone numbers in email addresses. Okay. Makes sense. And then there's the bottom part where it's like, this is what we're doing to convert them. It's the middle part of like, I don't know. Once they're in a sales, they book in a call, they call in, they set an appointment. I think most businesses get that. Most businesses get, this is what we're doing to buy leads. We're doing Google pay-per-click. I've got a ton of people that do that. Some people do social ads, et cetera. This is what we're doing here. But it's this middle ground of like, well, what do you do between the sales cycle or the sales process and the lead gen process? If somebody stays on there 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and then they end up kind of leaking that. What are your thoughts around that kind of middle funnel, so to speak?
Absolutely. So first of all, if you've got viewers or listeners who are buying paid traffic online, we should have a separate conversation, because we've got a way to dramatically increase their conversion rate and decrease their lead cost. It'll absolutely blow their mind, but I can't share it here. And then in regards to middle of funnel stuff, you're absolutely right. It's probably the most important. Everybody focuses on the lead gen, right? Because that's the sexy place to, ooh, I just want more leads. Just get me more leads. We'll be fine if we just have enough leads. But are you pouring that water into a leaky bucket? How many are coming out the back end that aren't buying? So do we need to improve our nurture sequence and process and our conversion process? Probably. I would honestly probably fill the holes in the leaky bucket before I worried about pouring more fuel in the top end.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, otherwise you spend a lot of money pouring stuff into the top of the bucket, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Seth, people want to know more about you, connect with you. Obviously, a ton of wealth of information. Where would you point them to be able to start to reach out to you and help them to be able to grow?
Couple places. So social media network I am most active on is LinkedIn. Our company website is marketdominationllc.com. However, we set up something special for your listeners. If they want a copy of my latest best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, How to Turn Warm Fuzzy Feelings into Cold Hard Cash, they can get that at 30% off the Amazon price for the physical copy of the book at ultimatepodcastbook.com.
Awesome. ultimatepodcastbook.com. We'll make sure we put all of those links in the show notes. All right, last question before you go. Seth, what does working above the business mean to you?
Working on the business as opposed to in it. Working on it as opposed to not the day-to-day, but the big picture. So we run on EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. I am the visionary. It's working on the visionary stuff to move the business forward as opposed to getting stuck in the weeds day-to-day.
Yeah, good. Seth, appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Well, there's a number of things I picked up from that episode with Seth, and I know it went pretty fast, but I think that it's so important. There's so much packed into that. The comment around with Dan Kennedy, the company that can spend the most to acquire a customer wins. Like if you think about that from a, let's say for you're an insurance agent and your average customer value is $4,000 a year, say in premium, and somebody else's is $2,000. Well, because your average customer value is so much higher than somebody else, you can spend more to acquire that customer than the person's at $2,000. I think the second thing is, again, he just kind of reiterated to me around, look, there's the brand building stuff that you do, which is important to, there's no doubt to do that. And then there's the direct response stuff that's trackable, measurable, that you actually know what the numbers are. And that's the direct response. I think that's a really good way to differentiate between the two. I'm going to give my kind of opinion here, but, and I don't know what that's worth. Nothing really, but I think you end up probably on direct response. In the early days, you probably index more to the direct response side than the brand building side. And the more that your business matures, you get to your 10, 15, et cetera, maybe even past five, you can rely less on the direct response and more on the brand building. I think Homer Mosey has talked about that quite a bit as well. And then I think also just the comments around like, who is my target audience? Where am I going to find them? And what's the bait to be able to put in front of them? Who, where, and the bait. I actually really like that kind of visual of fishing in the different ponds. We talked about self-liquidating offer. Many of you, especially an insurance agent, you're not really going to have that because you're selling still insurance policies. So it's not like you can put in front of somebody an info product like a PDF and say, hey, you know, you didn't buy, but you know, buy this for $10. It'd be nice if you could do that, but obviously that's not something that's part of it. But for some of you who listen to this and have other businesses, I wanted to put that in there because I found it to be relevant. And then also like the nurture process. I think everybody knows the conversion, the actual, when you put them in a sales cycle for somebody, you're actually working the lead, you're following up with them, you're having conversations with them, you're following up with them via email, text message, calls, et cetera. But when they're in that, that's one thing. And then you've got the leads, but there's this messy middle that really happens. And I thought his analogy of saying Leaky Bucket was really good too. So go check out his podcast. If you actually ever started, thought about going on other people's podcasts or starting a podcast as your own, certainly go check him out on LinkedIn. Go to his website, Market Domination, Market Domination website, and then pick up his book, The Ultimate Guide to Podcasting. You'll get 30% off on that book. Hey, big shout out to our podcast sponsors, Autopilot Recruiting. If you want to be able to build your team with A players and you know you need to be recruiting on a regular basis, but then it's like, hey, how do I do that? How do I make sure that I'm staying relevant? Well, Autopilot Recruiting can help you do that. Go to autopilotrecruiting.com. Also, Alex just came out with his book. If you go to Autopilot Recruiting and then you search for books, his latest book just dropped in mid to late May. You can pick up his latest book. Go on to autopilotrecruiting.com/books. At the time of this recording, we just got finished with our Know Your Numbers intensive event. It was phenomenal. And one of the things that really came up around with knowing your numbers as your financials. And how do we understand our profitability, our year over year, not just profitability, but our growth rates? How do we benchmark that against other people? How do I know if I'm within the range? I'm swimming in the right lane here for where I'm spending money. I mean, it's all incredible insight, and Club Capital can help you to be able to get a handle on that. So you can use that information to ultimately be able to make better decisions in your business. Go to club.capital. I think one of the best investments I've ever personally made is in my own personal and professional development. And so if you work with Coach P, not only are you going to get that, but you also with your team members, they're going to be able to get some development and hear from his team of what is working now. Go to coachpconsulting.com, coachpconsulting.com, and let him know you heard about him on the Above the Business podcast. All right, everyone. Good episode. Till next time. Lead well and go be great.